Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome, everyone, back to the podcast of Three Men for Thee in the Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and Supernatural. And today we have with us an unbelievable Christian music group called The Reeds. We're looking at three of them right now. We're looking at David, Justina, and Sammy. Megan and Matthew are in the background someplace, but there's five of them in the group, and we're just so honored to have you all with us today. And I think Jack has a question to lead off with, and then we'll just have a dialogue and see how that goes.
Sure. One of our purposes of having this podcast is to reach people for Christ. And if it's something that was important to me as a young person, and I think important to all Christians, is the working of Christ throughout his people. And I'd like to know, I think our listeners would like to know, how did you all come to Christ? How did he reach out to you? How did he come into your life? Sammy, you want to start first?
Well, I suppose I can.
Okay.
My journey has been, I guess you could say, it's ongoing. And there's been, within that journey, a lot of key milestones, if you will. Growing up, I've been familiar with church all my life. I'm a third-generation minister. My father operates in ministry and evangelism. My grandfather operated in ministry and evangelism. So I've been inundated in this ethos. Now, I looked at these men and women, my mother and my father and my grandfather, and I looked at them with such aspiration in seeing their dedication to God. And I said, well, I wonder if that, maybe I'm too young for this. And so as I got older, around 13, my father came to me and said, okay, son, you need to go ahead and make this decision for yourself, or do you want to follow the Lord? And I was like, well, yes, not really understanding the implications of that answer. And to make a long story short, you know, I would grow up, go to a Christian college. I would have a really divine encounter with the Lord there as I saw him bring people into my life that spoke life into me and to really help me to encourage me to keep going on my journey and be willing to just follow the Lord. I guess that's the biggest thing is he's in this journey with Christ. It's more so I've learned this idea of following him. And all of that has culminated into me ultimately going to seminary and truly pursuing ministry, even my own life. And it's all just been this culmination of these different events, God bringing people here, God bringing circumstances there. So it's really kind of hard to pinpoint a particular point in time, but I can truly say, as what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. At this point in my life, I look back and see the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord from that decision just to say yes, even when I didn't understand.
Sure.
And so in short, that's basically how I've now not only come to Christ, but now I say I love him with everything.
All right. Wow. What a great testimony. Who wants to be next?
I guess since I'm next to Sam, I'll go ahead. My story is very similar to Sam. My mother led me to the Lord when I was about 9 years old. And so raised in a home where Christ was the center. My mother had a dynamic encounter with Christ when she was a wayward person. She says she was a heathen, but God saved her so beautifully. And she ensured that all of her children, her and my father had 10 children, that we all knew the Lord. And so I am grateful to be a part of the work and the transition that God did in my family, because she was a heathen. She married one, but God saved them both. And then all of her children, all of their children are saved and serving the Lord in great capacity. So he drew us with his loving kindness, and we're holding on to him with that same affection.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Super.
Well, I can say that my true commitment and dedication to the Lord started with a bicycle. A friend of mine came to a church one night and said he prayed and asked God for a bicycle. And that amazed me, because he said that after he had prayed for the bicycle, he came home from school and his mother had a bicycle from the neighbor, who said that he got a new one, so he gave him his bicycle. And I said to myself that night, if God can bless him with a bicycle, I believe he can touch my life tonight. And it was that night that I
gave
my life to the Lord.
Okay.
Amen. Over a simple bicycle.
All right.
God can use many things to get you
over. Yes. Yes, he can.
That's how I came to know him, in a perfect and solid way.
Amazing. It's amazing how the wheels move, isn't it?
You see?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's a good
idea.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome. And I tell you, that blesses people's heart when they hear these things. Because at times you feel like you're all alone. You're like the whole world is against you, that there's no other believers out there, where we're kind of like the prophet who went up into the mountain and said, okay, Lord, I'm up here. I'm going to die. Let's just forget it all. And the Lord said, hey, I've got thousands who have yet to bow the knee to Baal. So wake up. And that's always blesses my heart to hear another believer's testimony. Praise God. You folks have really blessed us so far. So I'll turn it over to Brother Herb for the next question.
So how did the music all get started, and how did your children become part of Reed's production?
Well, I started off I told you, I got saved. And my father was an evangelist, and he loved, he was a player, an organ player, and he would preach, and then he'd jump on the organ and play, and preach and pray, and he'd have tent revivals. And we had one particular tent revival. It was quite a few people. In fact, he ended up, that tent revival, baptizing about 500 people that week.
Now, was this in Greensboro or someplace else?
It was up in North Wilkesboro.
Okay.
In North Carolina, up in the mountains, foothill of the mountains. And that particular week, I always wanted to play, but I just didn't have the ability to do it. And one particular evening, I just said, well, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to try to play. I believe I can do it. He can do it. I can do it. So I had enough sense to know not to get up close, just in case I changed my mind. So I sat at the back of the tent, and and I would say, I can do this. And I get the courage, and something said inside of me, you go up there, your dad's going to whip you down with that mic. You are not going to do that tonight. So I waited. By the end of the whole revival, I found myself on the front seat, front row. And he got ready to turn around after he finished preaching, got ready to turn around and get on the organ. By the time he recognized that I was on the organ playing, I don't know what I was playing, but I was playing. That's where it all started.
Wow.
I started playing, and he let me go ahead and play whatever I was doing that night. And from that night on, he gave me the freedom to do it, and I began to grow. Within a year, I was playing and doing all of the services. And from that point on, I just started singing with my sisters and brothers. And then my wife comes along, and I met her, and they had a musical family, and we just kind of hit it off. Her and I, we hit off singing and seeking the Lord together. We loved each other and loved the Lord. Spend more time talking about the Lord than each other. So we
Amen.
Knew him when we got married. So, I mean, that was one thing we knew, if he knew nothing else. But then as we continued to sing together, she began to sing, and I play, and we sing a duet together. The Lord had given me songs from a child, so I had about hundreds of songs
Wow.
that I'd already written in my fellowship and time with him. Mm-hmm. And so she began to sing those songs because I wasn't the best singer, but she could definitely turn it on. So we would sing together and we would travel singing our own material. And then as we got older, the children came along and they grew. And we incorporated them into what we've been doing all these years. And it's just been a beautiful thing. I would have never thought that my sons would get into the music as I was. And they would be the ones that would produce the very songs God gave me when I was younger than their age. And so, you know, you just never know how God does these things. I knew he had given me the songs, and they were just sitting there. People were wanting them, but I just didn't feel the leading to do it. I didn't know I would have a singing family. And now we're all using the material God had given us since we were young.
Wow.
So, Sam, do you remember the first song you all sang together as a family?
I would have to say the first song that I do remember us singing together as a family was we had just finished really started doing a lot of Christmas music about 8 years or so ago. And we've sung formally on and off, whether in church and things of that sort. So a lot of that is a little fuzzy, but I do remember I know when we formally started doing this together was when we released one of our first Christmas albums, and the song that we sang together was We Wish You a Merry Christmas. It's a song that my father wrote, had the ability to produce it, put my own spin on it. So again, I would say that as like one of the main milestones of when we actually start doing this thing together. And I liked how we sounded and I liked what we were doing. And so been enjoying it ever since.
Wow, that's great. I know that I grew up in the 60s when every boy in high school wanted to be in some kind of band. And so me and a couple of other guys, we formed a band. And I laugh at the title, and Herb knows it. We called ourselves the Federal Fugitives. And wow. So I know what it is to try to sit and write songs. But I was kind of curious. You mentioned instruments. Did you take formal lessons, or do you play by ear, or how do y'all do this?
Well, I went to school for music. So I was able to get some formal training, but I had been playing long before then. So as you've just heard, my father played and I watched him play. And I remember many times just sitting beside him on the organ bench or the piano bench, just watching his fingers go. And so my story of playing, it was almost similar to how he played. He was at a particular church and they had asked him to play. And he had to get up off the organ, so I had to do something. So it's funny how history repeats itself. So I've had both the opportunity to learn informally, sharpen my ear, which is really helpful if you want to in churches and you don't know where the Spirit is moving and certain songs need to be sung. And so that ear has really helped me out just to kind of flow in that regard. But the formal training has really helped me to understand the how and the mechanics of music. And so when you're dealing with more integral arrangements, like orchestras and other players, to be able to have a vocabulary and a language with which to communicate to other musicians. So I have both of those, and I employ those on a regular basis.
Wow, that's great. Now that, I believe, my friend, that comes from God. So that's super. You found your gift and you're using it. And so we can all praise the Lord together that there would be more folks like you out there who know what their gift is and will use it.
Right. Yeah.
So, David, you said you all are there in the studio. I mean, man, that looks like a really nice studio fireplace behind you. I don't know many studios that have fireplaces in them.
Yeah, what we have is called the Lord led us during the pandemic to start praying. So we, as a family, just begin to pray and seek God's face. And we lay down our plate and just begin to search for what his mind was about this whole situation. And as he did, he opened up this thing for us to do. And that was to start what is called the prayer gathering. And so what we would do is go online, and we would just get prayer requests. Mm. And we would, since we were already praying every evening at 7 o'clock, we would just include those prayer requests. And it just kept going and going and going. And how many years is it been?
We're coming towards 3 years now.
3 years. Wow. Where we've been praying at 7 o'clock in the evening and having other people to pray with us and getting prayer requests. And we have seen so many beautiful blessings. And now also we also do some worship in that time where we can sing and encourage and edify the saints of God. Man, we have seen some beautiful things. But this is the set that we set up for the prayer gathering. So everyone can feel comfortable and be free to share at home.
At home.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that's really a set?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really?
We've done some music here as well. We've done some songs and things here. So we've used it for a lot of different.
Oh, amazing. See, I thought you were in a house, but that's a set behind you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
Did we catch you during a time of rehearsal, or are you recording today, or what brought you all together?
Well, we were just having how can I put it, some quiet time together, doing some planning for some things that's coming up in the season. We're starting to ramp up for the Christmas season, and so this podcast kind of came at a good time when we're already gearing up and planning and getting things together. So this was beautiful, and nobody wanted to miss it. So we all wanted to be here for this. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, now, y'all just finished an album recently, didn't you? Or are you still working on it?
It is going to be finished at the end of the month. But yes, we are really, we're getting to the home stretch of this.
Wow. Well, as our listeners get an opportunity to see this video, I will also post some links to your sites so that they'll be able to see those links as well. And, you know, listen to the music that you've got, and, you know, purchase any of your albums that you've got as well.
Mm-hmm. Epic.
So that brings up the question, how many albums do you have out there?
So far we have 2 albums, 1 EP, and about 5 singles that we've released over the course of 8 years.
Wow.
Our first foray was our Christmas album, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And then between that time, we released another EP with a couple remixes of some of those songs. And then we did a follow-up a single with Communion. It's a really great song that my father wrote that really helps set the atmosphere for preparing to participate in the Lord's Supper. Really, one of my favorites. It never gets old to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Communion song is great.
Yeah. So then in 2021, we released our second Christmas album, Christmas Time With You. That was real fun putting that together.
Yes.
And we've done 2 singles. We've released live versions of 2 songs that are going to be on the record that's going to be coming out at the end of the month. And that's Let Not and Thy Word. So that's basically the discography of what I almost forgot. Take Time. That was a song that we released around the same time we did the prayer gathering. So those things kind of dovetailed together. And all those songs have done very well in various parts of the world. And had like our Christmas.
Amen.
Someone came to me and said, "Hey, it's I'm still listening to your Christmas album." And I looked at my calendar. I said, "It's July." And it's like, no.
Well, I can tell you, David, I admire you very much. As a wannabe songwriter myself, I can appreciate what you've gone through and the calling that you have. So, was it the kind of thing where the sky just opened up and you said, the Lord said, "Hey, this is what I want you to do," or did He kind of lead you along by steps and said, "You know, He gave you a song and you took it to your heart and you said, you know, I'm going to try to share this song with other people and see where it goes." How did that work?
Well, it was more organic than anything. And this is one of the reasons why I encourage anyone who wants to get into really praising and worshiping God is that they learn to fellowship and know the God you want to sing about. That is one of the things that really happened to me in a young age. I didn't start off wanting to sing, but I did want to let the Lord know how much I loved Him. And so as I was a young fella, I would walk up and down the street here, and I would just begin to just pray and tell them, I really appreciate you. And that would turn into a song. I think one of the first songs I sung, I was young, real young. I can't even remember how young, but it says, you and me, I love it when we're together. You and me, nothing could be better. With you in my life, everything goes so right. With you and me, you and me, you and me. And that was just the song. I would just fellowship with the Lord up and down the street. Never saw the light of day, but he got the chance to enjoy my time with him, and I got to enjoy my time with the Lord as well. So it was a beautiful thing. That's how it just kept coming in fellowship.
Yeah. As you all perform and you're on the stage, do any of y'all have this kind of aha moment that came up during one of your performances?
Wow. Yes.
Oh.
They probably happen to me a lot because as one of the lead singers, I have a lot of revelations. I'd said I've get to know my husband. It's a view of the heart of the writer. I'll hear parts of the music and I say, wow, Samuel is so gifted. And then I'll hear Matthew singing that bass and I'm like, God gave us all five parts. How he put five parts in a family, only he could do that. And so, yeah, there's always these moments where you see the divine hand of God on our lives. And it's amazing. It is just truly, truly amazing. So, yes, amen. Every time it's something eye-opening to see how God has, we couldn't have made it up ourselves. We couldn't have put it together ourselves. But we did love the Lord, and we all do. And so that always brings some really cool revelations when we're sharing together.
Yeah.
Like the little testimony about that song. I'd never heard that song. So there you go.
Okay. You learned something
That's
today.
That's what I mean. Another aha moment.
Now, Sam, your path crossed with me at Wednesday in the Word.
That's right.
Why were you there? I forgot why you were there that day.
Well, I was there. I was wanting to connect with Stu Epperson, president of Truth Network. The Lord led me to reach out to him because of one of the opportunities to participate in NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And so I reached out to him that morning. I was praying about when to do it, and the Lord made that clear that now is the time to do it. And I wasn't sure if I was going to get him or not. But I've learned when you hear his voice, you just follow. And so I got his secretary, and he said, well, you can leave him a message. You might be busy, but you can leave him a message. And I said, okay, I'll leave him a message. Told him a little bit about myself. 10 minutes went by. He called me. I wasn't able to reach the phone. And he left me a message. He said, hey, man, I want you to, I love your story. Come meet me at Dario's at 8:00 Wednesday. And the rest is history. And I met you while getting some orange juice.
Yeah.
So.
That's super. Well, share one of your songs or however you want to do it. We'll just kind of turn it over to you. This will be the first for me, so I'd love to hear the song and the harmony here.
Well, as Samuel's queuing that up, we want to thank you guys for having us. We're excited. Thank you for sharing our information on your site. Well, what a wonderful work of ministry you all are doing, and we appreciate it. God bless you.
Well, thank you. So what's the song we're going to be hearing?
This is a song that my husband wrote, this Thy Word, and it is going to be on this new album coming up.
Okay.
Okay.
And this is a live recording of that song that you're going to hear.
Okay, super.
I'm gonna share a little bit of it.
Oh, wow.
Thy word, Thy word, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet
and the light is in my path. You see, I've inclined my heart to walk in all your ways, even till the end, to the very end. Oh, it's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. How I love your word, it's your holy word, thy word. Thy word, oh God, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, oh, thy word, and a light unto my path. Your ways, even till the end, to the very end. Oh, it's sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. How I love your word, it's your holy word. Mm-hmm. Thy word, oh God, thy word, yeah, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, thy word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, thy word, God, thy word. In the morning, all day long, it guides my way, it keeps me strong. Need your holy word, it's all I need. It's my portion, it gives me peace. Your holy word, living in me, thy word, thy word. Thy word, oh God, thy word, thy word.
Oh man, oh man, hallelujah. What a blessing. If this doesn't go viral, I'll be surprised.
Yeah. Really great. Blessed our hearts. Well, we'll be looking forward to some more music from your folks. We'll have to get some of your albums and put them in our own collection here. That is really outstanding. God bless you.
Yeah, so our listeners know this group is in Greensboro, North Carolina, so they're not far from us here in Winston-Salem.
That's right.
So, be sure to check their podcasts out and their Facebook page and look at their calendar when they have events so you can come and hear them in person. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much, Herb.
And we'll send you the link when it gets posted. So to our listeners, again, this is a first musical group, largest group, and what a blessing. Thank you all.
Amen. God bless you all, and we mean that with all our hearts. Amen.
We'll send you a prayer.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.